Scripture reading, Philippians 3, 14 through 19, Philippians 4, 7 and 8, and 11 through 16. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love is surpassed knowledge, that you may be filled to measure all the fullness of God. And by cunning his craftiness of the, in the people of their deceitful scheming, instead speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the holy body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part of us its work. I'm sorry, I kind of read a part that I missed here. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ appointed it. This is why it says, when he ascends on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, and the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of a Son of God, and become mature, attending to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and boughs, here and there by every wind of teaching. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be God.
A man saw a lion in a bush, and so when he saw the lion, he knelt down to pray. And after praying for a while, he opened his eyes, and he looked around, and he saw the lion praying. And he was kind of shocked about it, and so he asked the lion, he says, well, why are you praying? He said, are you stupid? He says, don't you pray before every meal? I'd like to give credit where credit's due. Thanks, Phil. It's good to see you today. It's good to welcome people on Facebook. We have people watching on Facebook. And I would encourage you, if you're watching, hi. And if you ever get a chance, come visit us. We would love to have you. We have a great church here. We have a promise that you'll be blessed if you come. You'll be encouraged, and I can tell you, you'll be welcomed by some very caring people. So I leave it with that. A couple areas I want to take a look at, and the message is entitled, He Heard and Gifted Me. And the series is about, who am I in Christ? what is my purpose? Where am I headed? What am I supposed to be doing? And so the first thing that we need to take a look at is being heard by God and being heard from God. It works both ways. And then what is this whole idea of being gifted? Because each and every person sitting in this audience today has a gift. You may not have found it yet. And if the hair is growing gray on your head, it's if there's hair, we need to find what it is and what He would have us to do. Prayer is nothing more than talking to God. And as I thought about the idea of talking to God and thanking God and sharing with God and asking God, when I was praying this morning, it just that those thoughts went through my mind that it's all about communicating with Him. And I've said this before, and I really believe it, is so many times we ask God for things, and He answers a prayer, and then we never thank Him. We thank our earthly fathers for stuff when they do things for us. When grandparents do stuff for us, we thank them. Got a card from Brandon thanking us for the scholarship money. And so we're in the habit of thanking people that we see, but sometimes we're not in the same habit of thanking God whom we don't see. And so the question that went through my mind when I was thinking about all this, is it okay to ask God for spiritual gifts? Is it okay to ask God for gifts? And so the best way for us to hear from God is to speak to Him. And it sounds simple and it sounds easy, but we all have a lot of things going on in our lives, a lot of things that are affecting a lot of people. Those of us that still work, have jobs that take our time. Some of them are stress-filled. Some of them are very challenging. Those that are of you that are in business for yourself, trying to secure customers, trying to maintain the clientele that you have, it's difficult. Children needing our time. Children demanding our time. And they do. We had a situation this week come up with one of ours that is, you can't seem to understand that when your brakes need to be replaced, it's a lot easier to do it for $200 than it is for $549.69. I never will understand it. So Ryan, if you're watching, grandchildren wanting our time. And grandparents buying grandchildren things that mom and dad won't. That takes time. Building and maintaining relationships. Dwayne and Michelle last night, I talked to them about building a relationship. Marriage is more than two people living together, but it's a relationship. It takes work. And so that work can take us away from our time with God. For some people, it's trying to keep up with the neighbors. They got something new, I got to get something new. We don't have to deal with that as far as people on each side of our house because there's no houses there. But somebody just is building a new house across the street. We are beyond that. In fact, Cindy's trying to downsize some of the things I have. Some of the things that consume our time. It's a true story. Watching the days of our lives. For some people, that's more important than anything else. As I mentioned earlier, school starts. For some people, it's school. And that's important. And all those things, except watching Days of Our Lives, are probably important and have some need to take some time. But they can't be a priority. They can't be the number one thing in our lives. So we all need to find time every day to read and pray. And one of the interesting things that Roger read when he was talking about kneeling down is the Jewish people used to stand and pray. And when they did, they would raise their hands in prayer. And Paul, writing to the Ephesians, said, "I kneel down." In other words, he's submitting himself to authority. He's submitting himself to God, who is over him, who is his authority, and who he is in submission to. And so this is really the second prayer in Ephesians that he has prayed to God about needs and things in his life. And so whether we kneel physically or whether we kneel in our hearts, it is an act of submission to God and an act of submission to him. And so we're praying for inner strength. We're praying for the strength to give our spirit life, which directs our body. And I've said so often that too often we allow our minds and our bodies to control our spirit. And our spirit should control our mind and our body to give us direction. So prayer is simply talking to God. That's all it is. And here's what he says about it. Because he says the first thing is that we'll get power. Ephesians 3:16 said, "May he grant you out of the riches of his glory to be strengthened and spiritually energized with power through his spirit in your inner self." That inner self is the indwelling, your innermost being and personality. So we get power, our personalities, our inner strength, the inner man, our heart, our spirit gets strength when we pray. Now we can pray for needs in our body, and we should. And we heard a wonderful, awesome testimony last week about God touching a physical body. So the life of a believer should be filled with power. That's what he says. That we'll be energized with power, energized with strength. I saw this week and I thought, this is really great. It says, this is what the power of God will do through prayer, faith, and belief. And that's changing things in our lives. But it takes one more thing. You and me. It's not going to just happen by itself. And that's the mission of the church. And that's the purpose of what the church is on the earth for. I mentioned last week that God will answer our prayer. All we have to do is ask. That's just it. The simple thing is asking. Sometimes the more difficult thing is believing. I believe that he could heal someone else, but can he really do it for me? I believe that he can help someone else in this broken relationship, but can he really do it for me? I've seen him help other people's marriages, but can he do it for me? It's, Lord, help my unbelief. The first thing is we have power. The second thing is we have an inward presence. In verse 17, he says, "So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through your faith, and may you, having been deeply rooted and securely grounded in love," may he dwell, an indwelling peace and an indwelling presence in our heart because of what he says. Christ not only is talking about dwelling in us, and being there, but he wants to get us grounded in him. And I honestly believe, and I can't prove this scripturally, but I believe that a person can be so close to God that things happen before we ever pray for them. I'm thinking, wow. But it's because of the power in our lives, and it's because of His indwelling presence in our lives. Power, inward presence. The third thing is an inward perception. Verses 17 to 19 says that so Christ may dwell in your hearts through your faith, and may you, having been deeply rooted and securely grounded in love, be fully capable of comprehending with all the saints, God's people, this is from the Amplified Version, the width and length and height and depth of His love, fully experiencing that amazing, endless love. And that's what it's all about, that we experience the love. When God hears our prayers, amazing things begin to happen. The first one, He'll fill us with that amazing love. And then we're able to go out and we're able to know the fullness of God, because the Bible says what? God is love. And so that's what we have when He fills us with His presence. So we have power, we have an inward presence, we have an inward perception. There's also an inward provision. Verse 19, and that you may come to know, and know means practically through personal experience. Practical experience, practically doing it. The love of Christ, which far surpasses mere knowledge without experience, that you may be filled up through your being to all the fullness of God. Not just some of it, but to all of it. So if the inner man directs our lives, as he should, our spirit, then what we do, it's what the Spirit directs us. People get in trouble when they allow their mind to control their body. People are addicted to things these days. People are addicted to internet pornography, as an example. Addicted to it. Because they're letting their mind direct them, rather than listening to what God says, and He says, shun that stuff. You probably get stuff popping up in your computer every day. The last thing Larry's interested in is an Asian beauty. I'll be honest with you. But I would tell you probably every day something pops up. Goes to spam, fortunately, and I delete it. I don't even look at spam. I just hit the garbage can and it's gone. But how easy is it for somebody to click on that? Well, what is this? What's danger? So we hear God and we ask God to gift us. Yeah, God, what do you have for me? What is my gift on this earth? And the gifts of the Spirit are listed. They're wisdom, knowledge, healing, miracles, prophecy, discernment, tongues, interpretation of tongues, administration, service, exhortation or teaching, mercy, giving. Those are the fruits of the Spirit. Justice isn't listed. We don't want justice. But what Paul is talking about here in this passage that Roger read about is something totally different. He's not talking about gifts of the Spirit, but he's talking here about gifts that are set aside for equipping the saints. And these are the ones that God determines who receives the gifts. The question arises that, you know, when we stop and think about all of this, did he establish gifts and ministries in the church in the first place? Who did this? Was this an act of man? Was this an act of God? Was this something that God ordained? And it's something that God ordained. And so, God is a spirit. We are created in the spiritual image of God. And I want to do a series sometime on this, but we are created in the spiritual image of God. The spiritual image of God is pure. spiritual image of God is whole. The spiritual image of God is what he created when he created Adam in the Garden of Eden. The spiritual image of God is what Eve was when he created Eve from Adam, because Adam was without sin. And the Bible says that he breathed life into them and they became a living being. And at that point, they're still pure. Where we get screwed up and messed up is we listen to what society says to us. And what we're seeing today is that the church is conforming to society. Society is not conforming to the church anymore. We are trying to be all welcoming to everyone. And we should be welcoming to everyone. But there are some things that the Bible teaches about that are wrong. And so God has called these different ministries, these fivefold ministries here. He's called apostles. These were personal witnesses of the resurrected Jesus. Are there apostles today? I believe there could be. If you have a vision of a resurrected Jesus Christ, you could be an apostle. Prophets, they foretold the word of God and preached the gospel. You want to know a secret? Everybody in here, at some point in their life, has said something prophetic. I think I'm getting a cold. That's prophetic. You know, and you may sit and think, man, I can't believe that. But it's true. Because the Bible says that our words speak life and death. And so when we say that kind of stuff, or we see some children, and I've heard parents say, you'll never amount to nothing. You'll never amount to anything. I mean, I've heard that. You've probably heard the same thing, people say that. Or you hear someone, talk about someone and say, well, they're bound to do this. That's speaking prophetically. And it may seem like, you may not buy into that, but it's true. If our words give life or death. Evangelists, they're there to share the gospel. And then Paul kind of groups pastors and teachers together there, and they are to shepherd and teach God's word. That's the fivefold ministry. We are all gifted. But what is my gift? And how do I find it? Well, we find it by seeking God. Spending that time. And when we use our gifts, there are six things that will happen in the church. And you can read these, and I'll just give you the scripture references, but believers are equipped. We are equipped for ministry. We are equipped to go out and lay hands on the sick. We are equipped to go out and speak to people to move their mountain. What is the mountain in their lives? Maybe it's a separation. I don't know. Maybe it's cancer in Bob's life. Maybe it's cancer in Steve's life. But we are to go out and speak to that. And when we are equipped, we will do it. Remember Psalm 27? No matter what comes against us, he surrounded us and he's protected us. Verse 12 also talks about ministry being enhanced. Saints are equipped, ministry is enhanced, the church is edified. I thought, edified, that's a nice word. What's that mean? To instruct, especially so as to encourage intellectual, moral, and spiritual improvement. We encourage each other. We speak faith to one another. New Christians are established. People grow in Christ. The church is effective and the congregation is enlarged. Verses 15 and 16 for those last three. This will happen when the church is unified. This will happen when the gifts are flowing in the church and when we are submitted to God and in submission to His authority. He laid out the plan. He said, this is how we do it. We cannot sit in church anywhere in the world, sit here. We can't sit here in the United States and send the Holy Spirit to Africa to speak to people. When Jesus was on the earth, He performed miracles as a human being. This is going to fall heavy on some ears and some hearts. But if it's going to get done here, it's going to be done through His people. Because the Spirit can't do it without the example set that Jesus set when He was here, when He did it. If we could send the Holy Spirit somewhere, we would. Because, oh boy, it'd be easy. But His call is to us to do this. Each one of us has a gift. Each one of us has a ministry. And the church needs everybody in line, in tune with what their ministry and what their gift is in order for that church to function. In the Bible it says, now these gifts Christ gave to the church. I think the New King James says, and to some He gave gifts. And to some He gave this gift, and to some He gave this gift. But to all He gave a gift. Let me encourage you this week. Go out and find somebody that you can edify. Build up spiritually. Encourage him. Don't hold what I said against me about speaking prophetically about I'm going to catch a cold. Because we've all done it. But let's speak prophetically. And as I told Wayne and Michelle last night, be positive. Be proactive in your marriage. But do it with grace. Because that's what it's all about. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for hearing us, for gifting us, for filling us. And so, Father, help us this week as we go about our daily activities, as we go about our daily business, whatever it might be. Lord, show us someone that we can lift up. Someone that we can encourage. Someone that we can speak to. And let them know that everything's going to be all right. Because Jesus is in control. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.